Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
It's getting better, a little better, all the time.
Life solutions, coaching, counseling, naturopathic medicine, insights for successful living, and getting better with Ann Beal.
Welcome. I'm Ann Beal. I'm your host, and I have co-host here, Dr. Jim Slaughter.
Hi, everybody. So glad you could be with us today.
And we are so excited today to have Cameron Arnett, Cammy. He is here to talk to us about his new movie. He always has so many movies coming out. His new movie, First Responders. And he is a director, a producer, an author.
Actor.
He does everything. And he's got a wonderful, beautiful wife, BJ.
Yes, indeed.
Is successful in her own right. Thank you so much for being here, Cameron.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We want you to tell us all about this new movie. We saw the trailer, we saw what you're doing in the movie and your great role. So just fill us in, because it's coming out next Monday, the 25th.
It's coming actually on the 24th, and the 24th. And so First Responders, as you know, as the title speaks, automatically understand who it's about. And I think what happens is that, you know, when it comes to first responders, we kind of have them as an invisible people around us. You know, they're around, they're the ones who keep us safe. They're the ones who make sure that we stay out of trouble. They're the ones who get us out of trouble. You know, all those kind of things that happen. But until you need one, you don't ever really think of one. And until you need one, you almost don't even see them around. You know, how many times have we just driven by a fire station and, you know, you see it, you acknowledge that it's there, but you don't really think about it twice. And you don't think about the lives that are happening on the inside. You don't think about the decisions that they've made. You don't think about their families and what they have to go through and all these kind of things. And it's almost like having the armed services, if you would, around the corner of your house, but you never even think that they're there. It's almost like having a base, you know, when it comes to first responders. And so I think that it's due that we put them on the forefront and begin to, and especially even as a church, these are people that we're supposed to be praying for on a regular basis. And so to now put that in front of people from a theatrical perspective and hopefully a movement perspective, where you make their lives more prominent and more known to the masses. That's what the film is all about. And hopefully we make that happen by people watching this and seeing how important first responders are.
Who came up with the idea to do a movie about first responders? Did someone, you know, did they have friends who are first responders, family or something, or what happened to make a movie like this?
I think the thing that became clear to all of us is at some point in time, all of us have either had someone in our family, some association, somebody that we knew, a friend of a friend, or have had some kind of interaction with, you know. I remember at a certain point for myself, you know, prior, I was a pre-med pre-law student in college. At a certain point in time, even while I was doing all this film stuff back when I first started, you know, I almost became a firefighter myself. You know, myself and, and a friend, we actually, how do you say that? We registered and went through all the preliminaries, you know, and as a matter of fact, I ended up in California and he ended up actually going to the training. And so, exactly. So basically, we've all had some kind of interaction with, and hopefully not been on the side of the need for, but had some interaction with. And I believe, you know, first of all, you know, Scotty Curley, who's one of the producers, of course, approached me about it and read the script and everything else and saw what was needed then. And so he got me interested. Karen is, I believe, one of the writers also, who's also an actress within the film. And so all these kind of part and parcels are what brought the film together. I think, you know, when it comes to God too, you know that he's an orchestrator of everything. And so I think sometimes it's also a timeliness. I think in the atmosphere of our nation, we have a need of understanding. You know, we look at back at 9/11, we understood how important first responders were to that particular event and what has happened in their lives since then. But now to deal with it on a regular basis so that the honor that's due is there. I think that's what this is all about.
Yeah, good point. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You know, it seems like to me they haven't highlighted firemen and policemen since 9/11. And well, they were really honoring them then.
I think you're right about that. But, you know, I think it's when we go through these events that are catastrophic, that are, you know, are traumatic, that we understand that these people have been, you know, training and preparing and doing things like this that we may have not even heard of, but it's not until the major ones that we hear about them. And so, yeah, to keep that honor, to keep that knowledge, to keep that support, and to understand that, you know, especially when you take a look at something like 9/11, it's not just that they answered the call, but it's also what the effects were on them and their families.
Wait till
while we're talking right now, these are still people that are totally affected, have been affected by this great event. And so we want to make sure that people realize that these events are happening, whether we know about them or not, and people are being affected. And so they need to be honored and they need to be remembered in the effectual time of being able to help and be able to be supportive of them while they're going through and putting their lives on the line for us. We ought to be reflective and honoring of that.
You know, it's interesting when we were watching you in the trailer, in the preview of the movie, because our son-in-law is a policeman and he's every time I try to say where he is, I said he was a detective last time. And he said, okay, you just demoted me two positions. He's higher now. So I, you know, the daily life, we are not even as involved as our daughter in that. But it was interesting to me spotlighting the family. I'm assuming that's people get to see up close what these first responders experience, right?
Correct. They get to see what they experience on the front line, but also the effects on their families and the loss sometimes that occurs or the potential loss. They get to see the humanity of these people, not just as servicemen, but as people that have lives that need to be understood. And, you know, it's like, you know, again, like I brought up the whole point of, you know, being in the armed services, those kind of things, you know, you're dealing with the PTSD day after day after day after day of dealing with the underbelly of society, whether it's the police, whether it's, you know, the fire, you know, arson and all those kind of things, criminal activity. And the fact that they have to see this, you know, on a regular basis, you know, I at a certain point in time too, within like my life, you know, like I said, I was a pre-IP law student and during my time in Miami, I worked in the emergency room, you know, and I did EKG and respiratory therapy and those kind of things. And so while the doctors are doing what they have to do with people coming in, and I'm also in the emergency room tagging people and putting all kinds of things together. but you're seeing this in the emergency room perspective. You know, people are coming in with, you know, gunshots to the head and blood, I mean, a bucket of blood on under their arm. It's not a normal thing to go through on a regular basis, you know, and you walk away with a different perspective, with a different mindset, and having to deal with the effects of seeing this as a human being. You shouldn't have to see this and say, this is what they go through on a regular. And so we have to be very cognizant of that in our prayer life for them, but also in our honor, in our respect, in our ability to walk alongside the families and be of service to them for what they do.
You know, it is interesting. I didn't know there was a First Responders Day. And I can't believe I didn't know that. And I assume our daughter and son-in-law knew that. We did not know that.
Yeah, you know, these kind of things are not things that the general population, if you would, are very aware of. Because it, again, it's so specialized, it's so put to the side. It's not, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, as human, as humanity, I don't think we want to think about that in our daily lives. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that we really want to deal with how, you know, when you deal with the police, they have to have a certain cynicism, if you would, a certain trepidation of who they're going to follow. Just walking up to a car, you know, you don't know what you're going to run into. And so though, I don't think we as everyday humans even want to think about that kind of danger on a regular basis. So just to even have a day where those, you know, the people in that arena are being honored, sometimes maybe it's not even something that's palatable to us to think about.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of like the military, right? They protect us and we don't have to think about war too much and all the things they suffer through. And whereas firemen and policemen are there and they're doing that all the time.
Right.
And we don't have to worry about it because they're doing it, which is why we need to honor them.
Correct. And you know, you bring up that point there too. What's the saying? Freedom isn't free. You know, there are people that live a life of making sure that our everyday existence of not having to think about it is a something that we have as a really it's a privilege, but we don't even think about it. But that privilege is not free. That privilege is not. It doesn't come with a cost to someone or to someone's, you know, and it's not just the people that are on those front lines, but it's the families that are on the front lines as well when they come home, you know, if they come home, worrying about whether they're going to come home, you know, and they give themselves to that for our sake. So, yeah, it's a very important thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, too, I think we often just in our minds without even thinking too carefully about it, we think of first responders as almost superheroes, you know, almost untouchable type people. Right. They can do anything. They're just powerful and almost supernatural. But we know a number of first responders, and we've gotten to know their families. Some of them are in our families, some of them are not. One was a first responder at 9/11, and he shared his story with us, and we know his family. And the thing is, these are real people. These are not superheroes, except for the fact that they are willing to put their life on the line for you and me and everyone like that. And, you know, it's amazing to me what element there is in a person that calls them to a duty like that.
Yeah. And man, you make a great point there. And I think that part of them is the superhero part, to make the choice to run in when somebody's running out, to make the choice of giving your life to ensure the safety of other people. Just the decision is a superhero decision, you know, but this is a superhero decision in human form. You know, why does the word say we have this treasure in earthen vessels? And so we are still earthen vessels, though we may make godly or God-sized decisions that are beyond our naturalness or our abilities. And that in itself is the supernatural power to for God to indwell a human that will make a Christ-centered a Christ perspective decision that really a human wouldn't make. And right. so the wiring of the of first responders, whether they're saved or not, the wiring of the of that human, and we know that, you know, different humans do certain things for different reasons. That's not the issue. I'm talking about the real first responder that has that wiring on the inside of them that says, I want to do this kind of service for humankind. Mm-hmm. That's a superhero thought.
Yeah. You know,
it's just that we have to understand that they're doing it in flesh bodies. And so they need to be protected, like, you know, that they have the heart to protect us as well.
Right. That's a good point.
You know, every kid, you look at even adults. I mean, adults come in here with Marvel t-shirts on.
Right.
And it cracks me up more and more. Right. And so I was going to say kids all want to be superheroes, you know, and often they all want to be like, you know, save people and rescue people when they're young. And now we have the adults too, you know, they all love these superhero shows and they all want to do that in their life. And so I think that this is one of the great ways they can do it is become a first responder. You know, it would be so good. I just have, what's crazy in the midst of all this Marvel and superhero stuff growing, we tended to demonize a lot of first responders. And yet it doesn't make sense.
You know, I think what happens is that, again, it goes back to humanity. Mm-hmm. Without Christ, we are all fallen man. And so without Christ, we are all in darkness. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens, whether you're talking about first responders, whether you're talking about lawyers, whether you're talking about doctors, whether you're talking about street sweepers, you're talking about humanity and in that form of a fallen man, any man can be evil in whatever arena that they're found in. And so what happens is that you're gonna find human first responders that are of the evil sect, right? But you're gonna find human teachers who are in the evil sect. So it's not teachers, it's not first responders, it's those humans who decide to not live a right life in whatever capacity that they're in. And so the issue in demonizing people, generalizing that demonizing of an entire class of people is in itself evil.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
you look at police officers and you say, you know, the police are evil. Well, they are evil police, but they are evil teachers and they're evil this, they're evil pastors, okay? And so the thing about it is that evil doesn't come in the shape of an entire genre. It comes in a shape of a human in that genre that makes an unsuperhero choice, you know? And I think that we are to at this point in time, especially as Christians, we are to be able to pinpoint and say that person there did the wrong thing. That person over here did the wrong thing. Instead of making everyone of that arena or of that sect or of that genre or occupation, you know, where what someone did, and I think the church more than anybody else needs to be at the forefront of separating that and making it right.
Yes, sir. Yes. Well, you know, we're in the mental health field in our clinic, and we know that 20% of the population is unstable and 10% are severely unstable. And that is of any big population. You're going to find that you find that in a neighborhood, right? Like if there's 100, there'll be 2 or 20 or 10. Well, you know, the people 10,
well, you know,
at least, right? And we, so it's in anywhere.
We have an 80-20 rule, right? Yeah. And that 80-20 rule is found, it's pervasive. No matter what you're talking about, it is found, the 80-20 rule. And so, but we have failed to recognize that Jesus is the one who declared the 80-20 rule. And it's really 75-25%, he says. He says, there are 4 kinds of ground, and out of the 4 kinds of ground, only one is good. So that means that 25% of the people are good, 75% are not. So he flips it, okay? And so what happens is that in society, you're gonna find, in what you're talking about here with the 20% that are unstable, now unstable to the world, but now unstable to Christ. That's a whole different order right there.
Right.
And so Jesus said in the church, 75% of the people are not really who they say they are. Only 25% is. So look at how much that flips. And so we need to understand that we're going to run into a whole lot of people in society that may use their choices incorrectly. However, the reality is that we ought to be strong enough as a Christian to proclaim everyone his own, you know, state in life, not make everyone wear the mental deficiency, as you put it, of everybody else. You know, and sometimes, unfortunately, that's what we do. We end up not letting people stand on their own, fall on their own. And the word says to our master alone does his servant stand or fall. And so if we would take the principles of scripture and apply it to society equally, liberally equally, then we'd find that we would be able to right the wrongs of those generalities, those stereotypes, those whatever, and be the superheroes, the champions of that mindset, of that understanding. And I think by doing that, we'd be first responders of a lot of lives.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Cameron, I've noticed an increasing number of people, not just men, but mostly men, coming to me anyway, are coming with PTSD symptoms. And they are from various backgrounds. You know, they're from the firefighting profession and police officer, military. And this is serious stuff that they go through. It affects people to an extent that they don't really understand. And I'm trying to put a lot more of my time into understanding that disorder and where to be able to take them. The good thing about having a clinic that's based on biblical principles, and people know that we are kind of that's what we do. And so we can appeal to their relationship with Christ as the most powerful resource that they have. But this is becoming a much more observable phenomenon in our culture. Mm-hmm. And so I was actually so happy to see that the film deals with that.
Yes.
And I hope that there'll be some folks who, a lot of folks become more educated about that and what that's like.
I agree. I think, again, everything is, you know, for such a time as this, it's a time in which God orchestrates certain things come to the light. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that brings us into all truth, all these kind of things that happen. And so when you start seeing these films and subjects and news reports and all these kind of things that happen around a whatever time, I think it's God making a truth understood.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
To the church, through the church, but also through the masses. You know, it's almost like when an idea hits the atmosphere, it hits the atmosphere, and anybody who will tap into that idea, that atmosphere, can come up with the idea that God is releasing in the earth realm. It's like a revelation. When you take a look at denominations, every denomination was really a birthing of a revelation. And so we end up making a monument of that revelation. But the reality is that God was revealing a truth in each and every one of those times. And instead of putting all those truths together and making them one, we end up making a colossal mistake of having that denomination or that revelation become a denomination. And so what happens is the same thing when it comes to God revealing a need or how he wants to bless, how he wants to help humanity. That idea begins to permeate the atmosphere. And so it's something that we have to now be able to breathe in and receive from God and use to help people. And the fact that you guys are in that this field of mental health, of being able to bring that service, that in itself is a first responder call.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Actually, it is
in some ways.
Yeah. It is. You know, I mean, yeah. My wife and I pastored for 18 years, and we're mm-hmm. called as apostle, prophet, and teacher within the body of Christ. And so the fivefold ministry is the first responder of God in the kingdom of God to the needs of the people. And so that's why you find a lot of pastors, think about it, they are the pastor, the fivefold ministry, they're the ones who give up their lives to God, for God, for the sake of his people. And so they go through all of the issues that they don't have themselves, but the people do. And mm-hmm. so they go through and they have sleepless nights because they're praying and believing and trying to help a family and all these kind of things. And those are, you know, those are first responder calls, mm-hmm. you know? And so for you guys to be in that place where you are dealing with the mental health of people and dealing with the severity that happens to their lives, it brings upon you something that you would, you know, a pressure or that you wouldn't have, except that you gave yourself to that call, you know, but it's the grace of God that's in you that keeps you from, you know, losing it like they do.
Yes.
Well, and also, you know, that drives us to the Lord for direction,
yes.
and for increasing purpose. And frankly, for awareness, as we talk to people who come in, you know, we have to think on our feet a lot. And, sometimes that's tough.
Yeah, we have to depend on God a lot.
We really have to seek God's face for guidance in every session that we have. And so, you know, that's for us, that's a good thing, really. So,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, like we have to, and this is one of the things I thought about when you guys were talking about the PTSD, is that for us, we've seen counselors really burned out. We've seen counselors suicidal, depressed, super anxious. And so early on, we decided that we are not going to do 40 clients a week. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a variety of things that we do so that we can handle and do well for the clients that we get mm-hmm. and stay mentally well and mm-hmm. make money other ways so that we didn't just have to add to our numbers, you know, by the hour and just keep working more, which a lot of them do mm-hmm. 70 hours. Even the more hour you work, the more money you get. And so balance and finding and achieving balance for us in this field was really important. And what I thought about was we do see more firemen than policemen. Mm-hmm. Firemen are really, I mean, there's a fire station right up the road and they're encouraged to come in when they have a tragedy, and they don't usually let them go back until they do that. Mm-hmm. Policemen, it's a little different. And I think that they all, because of the kind of work that they're in, mm-hmm. I've kind of felt like the organizations need to handle PTSD better and the realities of it. You know, the VA is finally, the military is admitting it now and doing mm-hmm. things for it. And mm-hmm. it just seems like by highlighting it in the movie, the things that these people go through, I mean, anyone that has just tragedy, mm-hmm. mentally, it's going to be really tough on them, and they're not going to be able to handle their work very well. They're mm-hmm. not going to be able to handle people very well. Mm-hmm. And so I just think the nature of the job can lead to not handling the position very well. Same thing with counselors, right?
Right.
I mean, you can really do harm as a counselor in what we do if you're not healthy.
Right.
And so knowing how to step away when you have issues in different areas so that you don't harm those people. And that's what I think people being more aware of the suffering that these first responders go through, mm-hmm. they can see, and maybe they'll think of them as people, you know, and more compassionate.
That's exactly the point, to think of them as people. But see, I want to revisit something that you just said, because that's the crux of the matter. You made a decision that was an anti-money decision.
Yes.
In order to remain mentally sound so that you mm-hmm. can be an asset to those who, you know, may not have the capacity to make that decision, that choice, or have not made that choice. And others in your field that didn't make that choice, they themselves fall prey to the very thing that they're trying to help. Right. That's a superhero decision, but also that's a decision of wisdom. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're trying to get, you know, what, physician, heal thyself. You know, you have to use the same information, the same everything that you're pouring out. You have to first be the recipient and the possessor of that mental health by using the same material that you give to someone else. And a lot of times people are pouring out, but not necessarily pouring in. And not taking the time to pour in, not taking the time to go and rest, come away with him and that kind of thing. And so that message right there that you're saying is what we're trying to people to see. No, we have to understand that these people need to be able to go away. They need to be able to have time with their family. They need to be able to, you know, there's an empathy that you need to have, that you're not 24/7 trying to knock on their door. Mm-hmm. Because they are first responders. No, at some point you need to respond by with your empathy, with your understanding, so that they also don't, you know, burn out and then are no good for what they have, you know, given their lives to for you, you know. And so all of that, what was just said there, to me was powerful. But that's what I think the movie brings out as well. That's and you know, one thing I tell people all the time in teaching is that, you know, we get an opportunity to understand out of the scriptures, you know, Laban and Jacob, the principle of people become what they see, what you put before them, and the calves, you know, changing spots, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so as these films, and as you as ministers are before people and understanding, no, we can't take that many, we have only take this many because we have to be healthy, then they begin to also not only hear it being said, but see it being lived out, you know? And I think that's part of what we're all called to be an example of the word that we teach. And so in these films, we get an opportunity to see it. Oh, that's how it works. That's what it looks like. That's what I need to do. That's what's really going on. And so it's not like a word just preached with a word, but it's a picture form, just like Jesus told stories. And so I'm very excited about it. And I'm very excited about, you know, what you just said, because to me, that's the answer right there.
Cameron, what has been the impact on you that this movie, making the movie, has made?
The impact on me is a derivative of our you know, current conversation. You know, my wife and I pastored for 18 years. We're called Fivefold Ministry. The ministry within film and television and all these kind of things are just the lane in which God has put us in. We don't look at it as the end and be all. We look at it as the means to the end, which is getting Christ over, which is, you know, saving lives, discipling the saved. But I see myself as a first responder. I identify with the natural first responders as a spiritual first responder, because I know that our choice in life, my wife and I, our choice in life has been to give up our lives and all the comforts of life, and, you know, for the sake of making sure that other lives are one with him. You know, and that other lives are clear of the potential or the traumatic experiences that life could have without being one with him. There are certain things that I know when we first got married, that we could have our, you know, house and, you know, our white picket fence and not have any problems, any issues. We were in bliss, and we didn't have to have the cares of other people on our plate. Mm-hmm. But we chose to have the cares of other people on our plate and kind of disturb our own peace for the peace of others. And we had to do what you do, maintain a certain atmosphere so that peace could remain, because we can't give you what we don't have. And so that is what it reminded me of, what it encouraged me in, what it reinstilled, I think, in the choices that we've made to be first responders in the spiritual sense, in the natural church sense, for the lives of other people. And so it strengthened us in that resolve.
Well, that's quite an impact for sure.
Yeah. You know, I thought about you and BJ, because you have chosen, because Hollywood and acting, you know, I've been acting since I was a kid. I was in theater and grew up in the children's theater and did the theater and did the TV. And I mean, I always did it as a hobby. And mm-hmm. I had four friends that when we were in college, they chose to go on to LA. And I did. I'm the only one that didn't. I just wanted to do it as a hobby. I love it and enjoy it. But, you know, I've seen a lot of really, a lot of tragedy, a lot of hardness, a lot of sadness, a lot of corruptness. Mm-hmm. People not the same, but I look at you and BJ, and why we wanted to interview you at NRB is there is a glow, there is the love of Jesus, there is a joy, there's a maybe contentment is something I see in you, and I know that you guys chose, you know, Christ over career. You're the mm-hmm. actor that's pretty much known for that,
right?
And that's such a healthy thing to step out away from the glitz and the glamour and all the money and yeah. not lose your soul, not lose yourself in right. the life. And so when you were saying that about us, I thought about you in the same way. I did. You yeah. and BJ and your family, you just seem like you've worked hard to try as best as you can to avoid those pitfalls that so yeah. many actors fall into.
Yeah. And their films. It is. And again, for me personally, the choice to choose Christ over career was not a difficult choice. It's the unraveling of life afterwards that occurs. Because what happens in choosing, and again, this is a understanding that the saints need to have. When you choose Christ over career, when you make that superhero decision to live your life in a certain way, all hell does break loose. But it's not really hell breaking loose. It's God taking hell away from you that you had wrapped together into a life that wasn't his. And what happens is that we don't outlast the unraveling sometimes. And so before making choices for Christ first and only, if it has to be, we make all these human choices and we try to put together a life the way that we think life should be, as religiously sometimes as we try to make it, but we're putting together our own lives. And then one day you make a colossal God decision. I'm only going to do it God's way. And all of a sudden God says, okay, good. Then now I'm going to go ahead and take apart everything that you put together so I can give you what I've put together correctly. Well, you have to outlast that unraveling because you think that it's actually something going that's going wrong, but everything is actually going right for the first time. And he, you know, it's like the scripture that says, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Yeah. It's what God has put together, let no man put asunder. He didn't say what man has put together, let no man put asunder. And we have a tendency, whether it's marriage or anything else, to put that stuff together ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then we wonder why it's not working and why we're not content. Now we're not happy. Now we're not joyous. Now we're not breathing. Now we're not in love. Now we don't have the vibrance because, you know, we're encapsulated within all this stuff that we put together. And I think the thing about this with Christ over career is by the grace of God, solely by the grace of God, he got me to allow him to unravel life and outlast the unraveling so that he can begin to ravel life from his perspective. And that's what I believe people see with me and my wife. We have allowed him by his grace to take away everything that we thought was for what only he says is. And it has taken years upon years, but we are so grateful, you know. And people think that you're like you said, you know, as a hobby, people think that you're acting because it's acting, it's movies. No, this is ministry. I came back to this kicking and screaming. I didn't, you know, but people talk about, you know, I went into the ministry kicking and screaming. No, I came back to acting. I said, no, I don't want no parts of this. All I knew was Hollywood. And so I'm not doing this because this is what I want to do It's because this is what God wants me to do. Therefore, this is what I want to do. So it's a huge difference.
I read that story. It was funny when your wife was, you know, talking to someone else and trying to get you to talk to her about a role. You were like, no. Really great. Really great.
No, not me.
Yeah, the movie starts on the 24th. It's a Fathom event, right?
Correct. Right now it's scheduled for 2 days. But what has happened with Fathom, and especially we're living post-COVID, you know, in the theater realm as well. And so what has happened with some of the Fathom events is that they've held over films because that now there's a need. And also the Saints need to understand that's why they have to support the very first day, the very first weekend a Christian film comes out, they must support, because that's what Hollywood understands. And so when you do that, the Fathom event itself, the theaters will continue to show the film because it's working for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very exciting. They just keep on going.
It keeps on going. You know, a few films have benefited from that. And so we're very grateful because we understand that this is something that God is doing.
That's exciting. Well, so 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. Is that right?
It's the 24th and 25th. I'm not really sure what those days are.
Yeah, it's 17th. I don't even. October 24th and 25th.
Yes, ma'am.
And they can get tickets, Fathom events, or go to.
They can get tickets, Fathom events. They can go to, I believe it's firstrespondermovies.com, or they can just, you know, call their theater and say, hey, do you have first responders? When are you getting it? Kind of thing. Get the theaters to, if they don't have it, get to know about it and see if you can get it in that theater.
Oh, we should do that. Yeah. I think they're showing right around here, though.
Yeah.
Right.
We're rounding up as many people as we can to go with us.
Yes, we keep doing that. We're
probably both not.
And you know what? Our neighbors are loving it.
Yeah.
They're loving that we take them to these Christian movies. And they just, we just talked to them yesterday, and they, before I even got done, they were like, we're in, because they've grown so much. And it makes you happy. And there's so much joy. And they did research on had people watch a movie that was very stressful or heavy, dark, or any of those. And then they had people watch a movie that was wholesome and benefiting and, you know, joyful or content. Right. And they said that their immune system, the difference between those two was a 70% difference in your immune system going down just in those hours. So they did blood tests before the movie and a blood test after the movie.
Yeah.
And it was a huge, huge difference.
Let me say this about the genre of, again, faith-based or principle-centered film. We have to understand that we have been held captive by evil humanity. And we have to see it as good and evil, because that's really what it is. It is statistics don't lie. The numbers don't lie. Okay. I don't care what the numbers don't lie. And so what happens is that it is proven that Hollywood would prefer to do a rated R movie because of the agenda behind it than to do a G-PG movie, even though it makes more money. See, that's insidiousness.
Wow.
That's evil, because that's why you see, as life goes on, it goes from the X-rated, but now you're into the Disney and all these children, whatever, that has become evil, because it, instead of calling that evil, now we call that G and PG that used to be an R now correct.
Right.
And so we as Christian people are supposed to be the counterbalance of all that. And what happens with humans is that they've wanted principle-centered films. They've wanted faith-based film, but because they're not the creators of the content, they've been held captive. It's now us that are now, as I've been sent, so I send you. So now, as filmmakers, we're being sent into this arena of filmmaking and entertainment, and we're finding that the people are breathing deeper and better, because that's what they've always wanted. They just didn't know that they could ever have it again.
Mm-hmm.
We are an answer, but the church needs to get behind the Christian filmmakers, because we are taking Christ out of the four walls into the mainstream. You know, I had a testimony. I was doing one film, and a young lady who was there said, my husband was not saved. She saved. My husband was not saved, but I took him to see one of your films, and he so fell in love with your character that he got saved.
Wow.
He didn't go to church. He went to a movie.
Yeah.
And we're getting those kind of testimonies around the world. And so the church needs to get involved and understand that this is a send out to the masses.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Cameron, thank you so much for being with us and your time. And we will get people to this movie next week. We are so excited about it. And of course, we told our son-in-law and daughter. And but thank you for your time. Thank you for your role. Just what I saw. Of course, I love your movies. I've already told you how much I liked Overcomer. And all the movies, your characters. And I think they just write them so well. And then, of course, your acting, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. by the grace of God, you know, he's the one that gives us our gifts and our talents. So even that is something that he does. And so that's why we can be, you know, totally grateful. It's not really, you know, we're not our own. And so, you know, God does his thing. But I am extremely humbled and grateful for all he's done. And all this is to me is another platform to proclaim his name. So I'm very thankful for that.
Great seeing you again, Cameron. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'll see you in Florida at NRB.
Yes. Oh, fantastic.
Take care.
Say hi to DJ.
Yes.
I will.
Bye-bye. See you later.
Bye.